You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 14 October. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb headquarters in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Derek Anser van Rensburg. Two updates yesterday. Famous brands, Life Healthcare, keen to get his view on those. Chatting with Keir Nyoma from Think Markets, investment cases for Sasol and Exoro. And then Sean Saunders from Uvex, as cryptos break higher, Bitcoin's looking like it wants to take out the previous all-time highs. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Eskom remains on a knife edge. Load shedding suspended an hour and a half ago, but underlying generation capacity does not look good. 50% offline, but City of Joburg Power has requested to be excused from levels 1 and 2 because they're getting power from Kelvin. Business day, Fed tapering poised to start as early as mid-November. That's from the minutes of the recent FOMC meeting. They're laying out a plan to reduce bond purchases. They flag inflation as a concern. Of course, subsequent to that meeting, we had the disappointing jobs numbers last Friday. So maybe that mid-November gets kicked down the road. Morning markets, US is green, S&P up a third, NASDAQ up 0.8%. Asia green, with Sydney up 1.2% and Tokyo up 1.1%. We've got commodities mixed overnight. Gold, 1,790. Brent, 83.43. And palladium, 2,098. Rand, 1480. Top 40 opening call, looking for a green open, 440 points up. That's about 0.75%.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Derek Anser van Rensburg, a portfolio manager at Anchor Capital. Derek, appreciate the time this morning. I mentioned in the intro there, we're sort of out of earnings season, but now we're into trading update season. The first one that came out was Famous Brands. I mean, the reduced lockdown levels heading into summer should all be good for them. They've got the UK misadventure behind them, although they still have debt from that UK misadventure. Your take on their update?
Yeah, look, I mean, this was always one of the sort of bellwether sort of stocks that always made up one of part of your portfolio in the old days. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, one too few missteps from an offshore perspective. We understand that, you know, obviously burdened with the debt, as you mentioned. But certainly this fits into the stable of one of those reopening type trade scenarios, you know, the likes of a City Lodge or a Sun International, even a Soho Sun. I think Famous Brands is extremely well positioned to actually benefit as we start to reopen and economy start to come back online, essentially lockdown levels start to drift lower. You know, this is an extremely well-run business and a very diversified portfolio. You know, obviously you've got the component, the food component, and then the distribution arm of Famous Brands, which are both go hand in hand. So, you know, in terms of the assets, in terms of the quality of the business, looking forward, I think that they're actually quite well positioned. So, you know, it comes with a bit of risk. So not sure, for sure. Your sort of grannies and pops and et cetera, but certainly I think it's well positioned looking forward. A decent base put in place. And obviously, as food delivery starts to come online, I think this is certainly going to be one of the big beneficiaries from that sort of online delivery food component.
Yeah, and they do have some top brands in the market. Life Healthcare also with an update. Group revenue is going to be up 11% to 13% year on year. EBITDA margin ticking up from 17.1% to 19%. On the surface, those two numbers look really good, but it's been a tough pandemic for the healthcare stocks.
Well, that's really the key, is the EBITDA margin. I think, you know, these hospital groups have all cut their costs to the bare minimum. And I think that they're extremely lean businesses at the moment. Everything has been focused on COVID for the short term. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think as we start to move into the next year, into 2022, elective surgeries start to come back online. You know, people start to go back to hospital for all the reasons that we knew from the past. Mm-hmm. And that starts to develop a bit of activity. And through this process, you've had a decent cleaning up of the business, where the cost line of the business has certainly been cleaned up. As you mentioned, EBITDA starts to look interesting, and then there's a bit of leverage in the business. So as you start to get some activity, as you, again, get this reopening trade scenario take place, elective surgeries start to come back online, I think the hospital groups have got a decent base now and are well positioned looking forward. So I think a commendable result. Mm-hmm. Very interesting to see where they go from here on out.
Which would be a quick last question of the three, because I take your point. Pent-up demand for elective surgery, that's actually going to see a bit of a surge. Lower cost base, higher margins. Do you have a preference of the three listed locally?
Look, I think they're all quite different businesses. I think Life Healthcare is the most exciting business, in my opinion. There's something about Life Healthcare that raises an eyebrow. Mm-hmm. MediClinic, obviously, you know, your sort of old bellwether, you know, diversified a lot of hospital groups. So, you know, if you want a bit of excitement, I would say if you're going to go into the hospital space, the Life Healthcare looks the most exciting for me, with the most leverage to the upside. Extremely well-run business.
Life Healthcare, we'll leave that there. Derek Jansen from Rensburg, Anchor Capital, appreciate your early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Keir Nyoma. He is a Think Markets. Keir, appreciate your early morning. A report you put out on two stocks, so we'll chat and touch on both of them. Exxaro, we've been chatting coal a fair bunch. We actually spoke to Andreas Rousseau early in the week from PwC. We're seeing energy shortages, China and Europe. I just saw a chart come across my Twitter feed. Inventories in India and China are at record lows that date back to 2009. There certainly is a compelling story for coal price, and Exxaro is your pick in that space.
Yes, Simon. I think the market never really reveals its secrets, but at the end of September, I was really encountered with this opportunity, which really does not come on my desk as easily as this came. And these shortages, both in Europe and in China and in the U.S. in terms of the energy demand, really just became a scenario that the commodity prices started to ramp up and started to increase in the first 2 weeks of October. And it really was a situation of now starting to look through the financials of different companies and looking to which ones are the most operationally efficient. And Exxaro, for me, in the South African JSE space, is the most operationally efficient coal miner.
Yeah, and they've got, I mean, they are coal. They're moving into a bit of a cleaner world. They've got manganese, they've got copper and other assets. But they still are, in fact, they're even doing about a 75 megawatt clean energy field they're building. But at their core, they remain a coal miner. And even with logistic challenges to get the coal to the export markets, the prices are just what's absolutely in their favor.
To be perfectly honest, my team and I have just been ranking coal miners across the globe, and we've been ranking them just purely out of 10, and the score we gave to Exxaro is about 9.9, and what we look at is the EBITDA margins, the return on capital employed. We also look at the execution of strategy before, and we also do a relative value between growth prospects and current stock valuations. And I mean, the next best company that you probably can is an international company in China called Shanghai Coal Industry Company. Mm-hmm. And it got a rating of about 8.78 from us. And I mean, that's a full point ahead that Exxaro has. And I mean, when you rank it against all those companies, what you really do get as well is the lack of stock volatility that those other companies present. I mean, locally we have Thungela. Yeah. But Thungela for us is just too volatile for us to make an investment case against Exxaro.
I hear you. And Exxaro, a forward dividend yield of over 20%, a forward price earnings of under 4%. The stock is not expensive. Sasol, which perhaps is the stock of the pandemic, up 1,000% since those lows. And again, the energy story. You know, US has only got about a month's worth of diesel desalinates. I mean, we've got, you know, they've got rid of assets. They've paid down debt. They've been running quite hard. But you think at current valuations, PE of under 8, still opportunity here?
And you see, the problem I've had through the pandemic with Sasol is just the execution risk that they've had.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm really adverse with giving management another opportunity to show me that they can't destroy my capital again. And they've been very value destructive since 2016 with the Lake Charles project. But I mean, sometimes in the market that does sometimes give the commodity, the main commodity, a stock deals in a fair rating. I mean, oil being above 80, WTI being above 80, really does give you a free margin of safety with the stock. And one thing I've really realized is that sometimes these value unlocks in these energy companies, whether they be just pure commodity plays or the product makers, is just being the ESG play. I think Sasol would have gotten a better rating had it not been one of the stocks which have come under the eye of ESG analysts.
Yeah, I hear you on that, and it has been. I love your point around management. I mean, you know, do we give them a second chance to disappoint us? But right now, truthfully, the tailwinds are in their favour, and that certainly is working. That's Ken and Yama. I think markets appreciate the time this morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Sean Saunders, he of course from Revix. Sean, appreciate your time. The note you sent last night around some topics to chat around. China bans crypto again, to which I add, and crypto is just uninterested as Bitcoin heads for new all-time highs.
Yeah, crypto is a weird space. I guess that's probably the takeaway from that. But yeah, thanks very much for having me on, Simon. So Bitcoin's up 30% in October, and that's a big run. I mean, that's 14 days.
Yeah.
And the catalyst behind this really, number one, is that Chinese ban, which may seem counterintuitive. But I believe what happened is that the Chinese ban actually prompted the U.S., to sort of come out and take a stance. And the US came out, and that's the SEC, their main regulator. Mm-hmm. They came out to say that they're not going to be banning cryptocurrencies. So that provided sort of a big stamp of approval for the market. And then, you know, you sort of couple that together with the second main factor driving this rally, and that's this optimism around this Bitcoin ETF. We all know that there is lots of money sitting in pension funds, endowments, you know, all those big other sort of institutional investors, but they can't come to the likes of a Revix, can't go to the likes of a Coinbase. That's, you know, out of their mandate. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of money potentially sitting on the sidelines. Should a Bitcoin ETF be accepted within the next month or so, that could move into the crypto space. And that's why you've seen this massive rally.
Yeah, and it almost seems certain. I mean, we were always eventually going to get a crypto ETF. This time, it seems, as you say, it's probably going to happen before the end of the year. Bitcoin's obviously the big one we all look at. It's trading a couple of $1,000s below those April all-time highs. But I mean, running my eye down the list of cryptos, there is kind of a moving in unison. I mean, Solana, which we've spoken about, Ripple, Ethereum, there is a general swell just around the crypto space moving higher.
Oh, yes. I mean, the rest of the crypto market, sort of the altcoin market, if you can call it that. So that's every cryptocurrency that's not Bitcoin. That market's run this year really hard. I mean, if you're not paying attention to that market, you're missing, you know, quite a lot of growth, and probably where there's the most innovation happening in the space. And the likes of Solana, the likes of Polkadot, Uniswap, These are really interesting projects. And now they've got hundreds of thousands of users actually engaging with these different applications and protocols. You know, you take a step back 2 years, no one was really doing anything other than speculating in the crypto space. Right now, you can go on to the likes of Uniswap and you can trade kind of like a decentralized JSE with absolutely no third-party company that sits between you and another party to make a trade. Now, don't get me wrong, regulation is going to hit the space really hard. And I think there actually needs to be some more regulatory oversight. I've sort of been quite outspoken about this over the next, over the last few months. But I mean, the innovation that's happening here is completely unprecedented. And as sort of a finance nerd myself, and as Simon, I'm sure you can relate to this, but the DeFi world is also super exciting. I mean, when you start going down that rabbit hole, you just don't stop.
Yeah, and you have continued the trend of mentioning a crypto I'd never heard of every time we chat. Uniswap was the one one today. I mean, if we look forward, if we run this forward, I don't know, 3 years, 5 years. I mean, what we're seeing is, you know, Bitcoin's become a bit of the granddaddy, and I know you always talk that actually it's becoming less of the overall crypto market space as we get these new cryptos. We're going to see the sort of those alts starting to mature, the Solanas, the Polkadots, and the like. And I imagine a new range of altcoins coming through over the in the years ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think would happen. You are looking now sort of through the top 10 cryptocurrencies. Only six cryptocurrencies within the top 10 were in existence 3 years ago. That's how fast the space emerges, right? So the likes of, as I mentioned, Uniswap, the likes of Solana. I mean, these cryptocurrencies, you know, they're more like technology than currencies, right? So I think there's this big misnomer in the crypto space when people start talking about currencies. Like, people have this preconceived idea of what money is and what money can do. Cryptocurrencies completely destroys that idea, right? I mean, these are ultimately programs that act or have money-like functionality, right? So think about an app on your phone. You can do a lot of different things with that app on your phone, right? So you could potentially be sending money to someone. You could be creating a loan. You could be doing all these different things. Currently, if you think about a rand can be used to pay for something, right? So there's this sort of contrast and this evolution of this idea of money that needs to occur. But I mean, if you go and you look forward, like I said, I think there's going to be a lot more regulation in the space, which is going to be good in, I think, in most part. So that's, I think, the first big sort of statement from our side. I think the second thing to look at is going to be the growth of sort of some of these DeFi applications. I mentioned Uniswap. It's incredible what they're doing. What that protocol has done is absolutely remarkable. If you start looking at the likes of Luna, which is another cryptocurrency that I'm going to mention, which I don't think you've probably heard before. A lot of these projects are just, they're fascinating in what they're trying to achieve. And they're all trying to do something slightly different. So that's, I think, really the big opportunity here is to sort of try pick that next Bitcoin, or don't try to pick the next Bitcoin, rather buy into some sort of a market product like what we offer, some sort of like an index fund. And take a punt at sort of the growth in this market over the next 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know how we pick the next one. I do like that basket. And that brings me to my last question. We chatted at the beginning of the month. You've got Revex has released a proof of reserve document. In essence, this says that what, you know, if my coins are sitting with Revex, the auditors have said, yes, they're there. A couple of folks, the question they asked me was, does this include your baskets at the same time?
Yes. So that was actually the first full end-to-end audit that was conducted globally. So, you know, we spent, I mentioned this on the podcast before, maybe I'm just feeling sorry for myself, but we spent a lot of time, quite a few late nights actually sitting with the auditors and getting all of that in line. So that includes every single asset on the Revex platform, whether it is the rands that you've deposited, the USDC or the USD coins that are on our platform, all the assets inside of our crypto bundles, absolutely everything. And, like we've said before as well, we believe that has to become the standard. Without regulation in the space, without an FSB license, without the mandate to actually get semi-annual or annual audits, you have to sort of step up as a crypto platform and prove to your customers that that's what you do.
Yeah, and in essence, the industry is going to have to drive that forward, because no disrespect to the regulators, they're often a little bit behind in innovation. Sean Saunders from Revex, appreciate your time this morning. A poll we're asking today on our LinkedIn and Twitter, Bitcoin on that move higher. Pierre Thierry-Odenhaus has got some giant numbers for it by year end. Do you think it's going to make some new all-time highs before the year's out? Have your vote, have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. That's it for today. Our poll yesterday, we were chatting LTACs, and I mean, it's a hard one. Has it worked? In some ways, yes, but in a lot of ways, it hasn't. Is that the market or is that the board of itself? We asked you, do you specifically look for stocks on the LTACs board? Just under a tenth of you said absolutely. A quarter of you said it really doesn't matter. You know, you just want quality companies. Two-thirds of you said LTACs, it still exists. Perhaps that's the biggest story. It was a big thing in the early 2000s. It seems to have faded on. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Nabuchle, Nicole, and Masekhla, to you for listening, and to my guests for your early morning time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.